Parshas Tetzaveh. The Baal Turim says that we find that Parshas Tetzaveh is the only parsha from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born until Sefer Dvarim that Moshe's name was not mentioned in the whole parsha. Moshe's name is not mentioned at all in Parshas Tetzaveh. Why is that? And he answers, because in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe said, if you do not forgive Klal Yisrael for the Maisa Egel, for the Aver of the Egel, Mechenina mi sifrecha asher kosofta, erase me from your sefer that you wrote. And the Baal HaTurim continues, that since Kilas Chocham afilu al tnai bo, the curse of a Chocham, even if it's conditional, the curse still exists. And since Moshe says, erase me from your sefer that you wrote, if you do not forgive Klal Yisrael, even though Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, the klal still remains. And Hashem erased Moshe from his sefer. So the question remains, why did he erase him specifically from Parshas Tetzaveh? And in Sefer Kehilas Yitzchak, it is brought down a terrace that since the Pasuk says, Mechenina mi sifrecha asher kosofta, erase me, erase my name from the Sefer that you have written in past tense. So since this Pasuk was written in Parshas Kisisa, Hashem erased him from the Parsha that preceded Kisisa, which was Parshas Tetzaveh. The Vilna Gaon gives another pshat, another teretz, why Moshe's name was not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. Since Moshe was Nifter on Zayin Adar, and Zayin Adar usually comes out during the week of Parshas Tetzaveh, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu omitted Moshe's name from Parshas Tetzaveh since he died during that week. And the Parsha starts off, V'ato Tetzaveh es B'nei Yisrael, and you in the future will command the B'nei Yisrael to take oil for the menorah. What is the lashon over here in this parsha? Ve'ata tetzaveh, and you in the future will command. And Rashi in Parshas Emor, Perik Chav Dalet, Pasuk Beis, gives an answer for the lashon ha-pasuk over here, because in Parshas Emor the pasuk says, "Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu elecho shemen zayizach, command the b'nei Yisrael, and they should take for you pure olive oil." So there was a tzivoy, a command over there for Moshe to tell the B'nai Yisrael to take oil for the menorah. So what is it saying over here again? V'yata tetzaveh es B'nai Yisrael v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. Why does it say it a second time? That you shall command the B'nai Yisrael to take oil. And Rashi over there says that the ikir tzivoy, the main command, was in Parshas Emor. And over here, it is not really a command. The Pasuk is saying, since I mentioned in Parshas Truma that you shall make a menorah, I am telling you now, what is the purpose for this menorah? Because ve'ato tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, in the future you will command the b'nei Yisrael in Parshas Emor that they should take to you pure olive oil, and this olive oil will be used for the menorah. The Torah is telling you over here that the purpose of the menorah that we mentioned in Parshas Truma is because in the future you'll have a tzivoy to place oil on this menorah. Therefore, va'ata tetzaveh is a lashon osid, and that's why it says it in this way in Parshas Tetzaveh. It is also good, according to this, why it says a lashon ve'ata tetzaveh with a vav hachibor, because it is connecting it to the menorah of Parshas Truma. And the pasuk continues that in the future you will command the Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu elecho, that they should take to you shemen zayizach, pure olive oil. What does it mean by pure olive oil? Rashi explains that they used to pick it, the olives, from the top of the tree where the sun shone the most. The olives that got the most sunshine, those were the olives that were the purest and had the least sediments. That was considered shemen zayizach. A second thing they did to get pure olive oil was kosis lama'or. It was pressed lama'or for the light of the menorah. They only used the first drop, as opposed to for menachos, for a korban mincha, they were able to use the rest of the oil of the olives. Lahalois ner tamid, to bring up the ner tamid. What is the lashon lahalois, to bring up? It should have said lahadlik. And Rashi explains, because when the kohen lit the menorah, he had to keep the light there, keep the fire there until the flame went totally up. He should not just start lighting it and pull away and let it flicker until it catches. Lahalois, he has to keep the flame there achetehe ha-shaleves oila me'aleha, until the flame goes completely up by itself. What is the Lashon Ner Tamid? It was a continuous Ner, because since the menorah was lit every single night, that was considered a Ner Tamid. Continuously, every night was considered continuous. It is interesting to note that the Lashon V'yikhu Eilecha, they should take to you. What is Pshat in that they should take the oil to you? Rashi is not medayik anything on these words, although in Parshas Chukas, when the Pasuk says, V'yikhu Eilecha para aduma tamima, you shall take for yourself a para aduma, Rashi there explains that it was called to you Moshe, since Moshe's ashes, the ashes that Moshe made in the Midbar, were always mixed into every para aduma. So over there, Rashi was medayik the Lashon V'yikhu Eilecha, but over here, Rashi does not say anything. Ramban explains that the Pshat of V'yikhu Eilecha is that Moshe was the one who had to inspect to make sure that the oil was zach, that the oil was pure. Therefore, V'yikhu Eilecha, they should take it to you to inspect it, to make sure that there were no sediments and it was completely shemen zayas zach. And the pasuk continues, Be'oil moyed, in the oil moyed, michutz la paroiches, outside the paroiches, asher alo edus, which the paroiches was before the oron ha'edus, yarech oisei Aaron Avonov will set up the menorah, the oil on the menorah, me'er vad boiker, an amount that will burn from evening till morning, lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. Rashi says that the amount of oil needed to burn from evening to morning on the long nights of Teves, the long winter nights, was a chatzi lug, a half of a lug. And during the summer months, when the nights were shorter, there would be leftover oil. And that didn't matter. It didn't bother us if there were leftover oil. Tosfos learns that during the summer nights, when the nights are shorter, they would use thicker wicks. And since the thicker wicks would burn off more oil, there would not be any leftover. Chukas Olam L'Dairosam Me'es B'nei Yisrael. This is a chayk forever for their generations from the B'nei Yisrael. It is interesting that the Pasuk has to tell us again where the menorah is. We know already from Parshas Truma that the menorah was placed together with the Shulchan outside the Paroiches. So why does the Pasuk over here tell us that the menorah was in the Yoel Mahed outside the Paroiches, which was before the Oren? This is something that we already know from the previous Parsha. And the Pasuk continues, V'ato hakrev elecho, and you, Moshe, shall bring close to you after you finish the Melechas HaMishkan. You finish making the Mishkan and the Kelim, you shall bring close to you Aaron Achicha, Aaron your brother, Vezbanov Itoy and his sons with him. Mitoich Bnei Yisrael, from amongst the Bnei Yisrael, Lechahanoili, to serve me. Aaron, Nodav Aviu, Elozar V'Isomar Bnei Aaron. Aaron and his four children, Nodav Aviu and Elozar V'Isomar. Ibn Ezra is Medayek, why does the Pasuk have to tell me who the children of Aaron are? We already know that. In Parshas Va'era it says that Elisheva Bas Aminodov married Aharon and had Nodov Aviv Elazar V'Isamar. Ibn Ezra answers that since you might think that he had more children after that, therefore the Pasuk is saying only these four. Others learn that the Pasuk is coming to exclude Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyin. Since later on Pinchas was considered a regular Kohen, it was just that he became a Kohen after the Maisa of Zimri in Sefer Bamidbar. The Pasuk is saying at this point he was not a Kohen yet, and the ones that were inaugurated to be Kohanim were only Nodav Aviu, Elozar, and Isamar. The Pasuk is coming to exclude Pinchas. The Asiso Bigdei Kodesh, and you shall make holy clothing, La'aron Achicha, for Aaron your brother, L'chovoy Ulesefores, for honor and for glory. V'yato tedaber l'kochach milev, and you shall speak to all the wise-hearted people, asher milesev ruach chochma, that I filled him up with a ruach, a spirit of wisdom, v'osu, and they will make as big the aharon, the clothing of aharon, l'kadoshoy, to make him holy, l'chahanoili, to serve me. The pasuk seems to be a stira. In Pasuk Beis it says, Vasiso Big Day Kodesh, you Moshe shall make the Big Day Kodesh. And in Pasuk Gimel it says, Vata Tadaber El Kol Chachmei Lev, you shall speak to the Chachmei Lev. Did Moshe make it, or did he speak to the Chachmei Lev? Pashup Shat is that since Moshe had the know-how and had all the wisdom to know how to make the Kelim, Hashem spoke to him and gave him all the instructions, so therefore it was considered as if he did it. It is as if Moshe himself did it, but how was it made? By Va'ata Tadaber El Kol Chachmei Lev. He actually had to speak to the Chachmei Lev to make it, but the Pasuk considers it as if he did it, since he was the one that was in charge of telling everybody what to do. Others learn that there were two types of clothing that the pasuk is referring to. There were the typical bigodim chitzonim, the typical outer clothing that the kohanim wore that were made by the chachmei lev, and that was pasuk gimel. But also there was another type of clothing, a spiritual clothing. Spiritual clothing meaning that the kohanim had to fix up their soul and perfect their midos in order to be on the level to be kohanim, to serve Hashem. And those clothing, those coverings over their souls were taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is what the pasuk means, V'asiso b'gdei kodesh la'aron ochicho l'chovet ul'sefores. How will Aaron and the other kohanim reach the level of being kohanim la'mokam, kohanim la'shem? Through the b'gdei kodesh, through the clothing, the ruchniyistika clothing that Moshe will teach them to place over their nefashos, over their souls. Ve'ele ha'begodim asher yasu. And these are the begodim that they will make. Choshen, a breastplate, the ephod, and an apron. Ume'il is referring to the outer shirt, uchesenes tashbeitz, and the inner shirt, which was made tashbeitz, boxes and mishbitzois, settings in the shirt to place stones for beauty. Mitznefes was the kohen gadol's hat, the avnet, and the gartel, which wrapped around the chesenes tashbeitz. The osu, and they made bigdei kodesh, clothing, from the truma that was separated in my name, begodim, from the truma hamukudeshes l'shmi, la'aron ochicho, for Aaron your brother, ulevanov, and for his children, lechahanoili, to serve me. There are a few kashas on this last pasuk. First of all, why does the pasuk say in pasuk gimel, es bigdei aharon, and in pasuk dalet it says, v'osu es bigdei kodesh la'aron ochicho ulevanov? It mentions Aaron and his children. Secondly, why does the pasuk say ve'ele habegodim with the vav hamoisiv, and these are the clothing? It should have said ele habegodim. And the third kasha is, the pasuk only lists six begodim. We know there are eight. The pasuk lists choshen eifod me'il, ksonis tashbeitz misnefes va'avneid. What happened to the tzitz, the golden plate put on the forehead of Aaron? And also the michnasayim, the pants worn by Aaron uvanov. Why weren't those mentioned in the pasuk? Or Chaim answers that the tzitz and the michnasayim are alluded to by the end of pasuk gimel and the end of pasuk dalet. In pasuk gimel, when it says va'osu es bigdei aharon lekadosh lechanoli, it is referring to the tzitz, and that's why it only says aharon, because only Aaron wore the tzitz. At the end of pasuk dalet, when it says va'osu bigdei kodesh la'aron ochicha ulevanov, that is referring to the michnasayim, since it was worn sai by Aaron and his children, the Kohen Hejoitim. And that is why the pasuk says ve'ele habegodim with a vav, because the vav is connecting it to the pasuk before. In the pasuk before, it mentioned the tzitz, and now it is adding also ve'ele habegodim and the other seven clothing that are mentioned in pasuk dalet. Why is the tzitz and the michnasayim, why are they mentioned separately? Or Chaim explains, since the tzitz was holier than the rest of the begodim, it was mentioned before the rest of the begodim in pasuk gimel, and the michnasayim that was on a lower level than the begodim, that was mentioned at the end, separately from the rest of the begodim. V'heim yikru es azov, and the chachmei lev shall take the gold v'satecheles, and the blue wool v'saragomon, and the purple wool v'stelas hashoni, and the red thread v'sashesh, and the linen. They will take all these materials in order to make the bigdei kohuna. As the pasuk will say further on, that gold was also mixed into the bigdei kohuna. They would bang the gold into plates and cut threads in order to put these golden threads together with the blue wool, purple wool, red thread, and linen. Now let us go back on the Rashi's. Biata tetzaveh zek Rashi zoch, pure olive oil. Belishmarim, without sediments. K'moisha shoninu b'menochos, like we learned in Masechtas Menochos. Megargoroi b'roish hazayis, he plucks it off the top of the olive tree because those olives get the most sun and do not have sediments. Kosis, what does kosis mean? Pressed. Hazesim hoya koseish b'machteshes. The olives were pressed in a mortar. They were not grinded down in a mill in order that there should not be any sediments. After the first drop of oil was taken out of the olives, then one may place it in the grinder in the mill and grind them in, grind them down. Vashemen Hasheni posel l'menorah. The second oil, the second drop, is posel for the menorah b'kosher l'menachos, but it is good to be used for the oil of menachos. Shenema kosis l'maor v'lekosis l'menachos. The pasuk says it shall be pressed for the light of the menorah, but it does not have to be pressed for the light of menachos. So there were two processes in order to get the oil to be very pure. One was taking it from the top of the tree, and secondly, only using the first drop. Lahalos ner tomid. Why does it say a lashon of lahalos, to bring up, and not lahadlik? Madlik achehei shetehei shaleves oilem eleho. He lit it until the flame was able to stay up by itself. That's why it says a lashon of lahalos. He should not light it and let it flicker and pull the fire away. Tamid, Zagrashi, Kol Laila V'Laila Kari Tamid. The fact that it was lit every single night, that is called Tamid, continuously. K'moshah Ata'imer, just like the Pasuk says, Oilas Tamid. By the carbon oilo which was brought every day, it was called Tamid. Ve'enoik Elam Yom Liyayim. The fact that it was brought every day, that's why it was called Tamid. V'chein B'minchas Chavitim, and so too by the carbon mincha that the Kohen Gadol brought every day, the Minchas Chavitim, Nemar Tamid. It says Tamid, Ve'enoi Ela Machatzisa Ba'boker U'Machatzisa Ba'orev. Even though only half was brought at night and half was brought in the morning, since it was every day, it was called Tamid. So we see, even though it wasn't every second of the day, the fact that it was continuous is enough to call it Tamid. Avo, but Tamid ha'omor, b'lechem aponim, the word Tamid, that was said by the lechem aponim, where it says lechem aponim, lefonai Tamid, mishabos l'shabos hayu. There the bread was constantly on the shulchan. As the Gemara explains, the new bread would push off the old bread in order that there won't be even a second, that there won't be a lechem aponim on the shulchan. So over there, Tamid means constant, as opposed to over here, Tamid means continuous. Me'erev ad boker, from evening until morning, tein lo midasa, put enough oil, enough measurement of oil, shetehei delekes me'erev ad boker, in order that it will burn from evening till morning. V'shi'a roi chachomim, and the chachomim gave a measurement, chatzi lug l'leidei teves ha'aruchin, a half of lug of oil for the long nights of the winter months, of the month of Teves. B'chein l'chol ha'leilis. Once we said in Teves, you will have a chatzilug. So all the nights of all the year, all the months of the year, it was also a chatzilug. V'im yivaser, if there will be extra oil in the morning, ein b'kach klum, it does not matter, it doesn't bother us that there is more oil. The shear is for the winter months, and in the summer months, there will be extra oil. As opposed to Taisus, we mentioned earlier, Taisus says they use thicker wicks during the summer months in order that the oil will be burnt up. And you shall bring close to you, after you finish the Belechas HaMishkan, then you shall bring Aaron and his children before you to serve me. Lekadoshoy, to make him holy, lechahanoili, lekadoshoy lachnisei bekahuna, to make him holy, to make him enter into the kahuna, ayidei habegadim, through the begadim. Sheyehei koyen li, that he should be a koyen to me. Lechahanoili means that he should become a koyen to me. Uloshen kahuna sheresu, and the lashon of kahuna means service. Shnatura belaz. So the pasuk is saying that they should make Bigdei Aharon Lekadoshei, to make him holy, Lechanoili, that he should become a Kohen to me and serve me. Maskela David is Medayek, why Rashi says this in Pasuk Gimel, when he could have been Medayek the same thing in Pasuk Aleph, when over there also it says Lechanoili. Zok Rashi Choshen, Tachshit Keneged Halev. It was an ornament that was worn on the heart, on the chest of the Kohen Gadol. The 8 point. So Grashi lo shamati v'lo matzasi, I did not hear and I did not find b'braisa, in the braisa pirish tavnisa, exactly how the ephod looked. Melibi oimerli, but my heart tells me this is the way it looked. And it would be easier if the listener will have a picture of the ephod in front of him in the sefer Bigdei HaKodesh, Bigdei Kahuna, written by Reb Sholem Dover Steinberg. There is a very nice picture of the ephod on page 14. Also in the Arskol Rashi, one can see a picture of the ephod on page 378. And Rashi says, V'libi omerli, my heart tells me, Shehu chaguloi me'achoyrov. It was tied to the back of the Kohen Gadol, which means the actual tie was in the front, but the apron part went around the back and will wrap around the front of the Kohen. Rachboi kiroichev gav ish, the width of the apron was like the width of the back of the Kohen. Kiminsinor, like an apron, shekarin portzint, shechegeres hasorais kishiroich vais alasusim, that women wear, noble women wear when they ride on their horses. It was that type of an apron. Kach masehu milmato. That is the way it was made milmato on bottom. Shenema, like the pasuk says, v'david chogor efoid bud. David was tied with an ephod, an apron of linen. Labadnu, we see, shah ephod chagurhi. We see that the ephod was a belt because it said it was tied to him. One cannot say that it was only a belt. Shahari Nemar, the Pasuk says, Vayitin olav esa ephod, and they put the ephod on him. And afterwards, the Pasuk says, and they tied him with the belt of the ephod. So what do we see? Betargum unklus behemyon epuda, and Targum says on that on cheshev ha'efoid behemyon epuda with the belt of the ephod. Lamadnu shachefe hu achagor. The cheshev is the belt. For ha'efoid shem tachshet levadoi, and the ephod, the apron, was the lower part, a ornament by itself, not included in the cheshev ha'efoid. There was the belt separately and the ephod separately. One cannot say because of the two shoulder straps it was called ephod. Shall ephod shame levad, because the ephod has a name for itself. Vakasefod shame levad, and the shoulder straps were a thing for itself. Vacheshev shame levad, and the belt was this thing for itself. There were three parts to the ephod, as you can see in all the pictures. There was the belt, there was the ksefois ha'ephod, the shoulder straps of the ephod, and there was the ephod, the bottom part, the apron part below it. So there were three separate parts. L'kachani oimer, therefore I say, she'al shem hasino shelmato, because of the apron below, karui ephod, it is called ephod. Al shem, she'oiftoi umekashtei boy, because it beautifies him and adorns him. Like the pasuk says, "Vayepod loy boy," and he beautified himself with the ephod, and that is referring to the bottom part of the ephod, the apron part. Vacheshev hu chagor shomalo, and the cheshev is the belt that is above. Lamala himenu, vakseifois kfuyas boy, and the shoulder straps are attached to the cheshev. Va'od oimer li libi, and my heart also tells me, sheyesh raya shehu min levush. I have a raya that it is a levush; it is a garment. Shetagim Yonatan, Tagim Yonatan says on the pasuk, "V'David Chagor Ephod Bod," and David was tied with Ephod Bod. What does he touch on the word Ephod? Kardutin Devos, linen kardut, a linen shirt. Metagim Kamaykain, and he also is Metagim Meilim Kardutim. On the word Meilim, he also says Kardutim. B'maisa Tamar Achos Avshalom, by the story of Tamar, the sister of Avshalom, where the pasuk said, Kichein Tilbashna Benois Hamelech Habesulois Meilim. So the daughters of the king wear Meilim. So on the word Meilim, he says Kardutim, and also on the word Ephod, he says Kardutim. So just like Meil is an article of clothing, so too is the ephod an article of clothing. So Rashi proves that it is clothing, and therefore there are three parts to it. The cheshev is the belt, the kisvois are the shoulder straps, and the ephod itself is the lower part, the apron part. So Rashi u'me'il. What was the me'il, the outer shirt? Hu kimin chaloik. It is a shirt. The chena ksoines, and also the next article of clothing listed in the pasuk, the ksoines tashpeis, is also a shirt. Ela shaksoines samach lebesari, the ksoines tashpeis was closer to his skin. Umeil korui chaloi ko elyon, and the meil was called the outer shirt. And these will all be explained in the pasukim further. What does tashpeis mean? Asuyim mishbitzais lenoi. It was made with boxes like settings for beauty. Vamishbitzais hen kmin gumois hoasuyois betachshit ezav. Mishbitzais are holes and settings made in ornaments of gold, lemoishav kfias avonim toivois umagolios, in order to set in these settings precious stones and pearls. K'moshenemar ba'avnei ephod, just like it says by the stones of the ephod, musabos mishbeseisav. The pasuk says that these two stones were set in settings of gold. So too over here, in the ksoines, in the shirt, there were boxes and settings to put stones. Uvlas karen oisei kastinus, kastins like boxes. Mitznefes, kimin kipas koiva. It's a dome-like hat, shekaren kufya that was called kufya. Shaharit b'makom acher koyer lahem mikbois. In another place, the Torah calls it mikbois. By the hats of the kohen hedget, they are called mikbois. Umetagaminon kayvoin, and Targum calls it kayvoin hats. Here too, the mitznefes, which was the hat of the kohen gadol, is also a type of a hat. The avnet and the belt, he chagura al aksonis. The avnet was the belt placed on the ksonis tashbetz. Vo efod, and the efod chagura al ameil. The chefod was tied onto the meil with the chesh of efod, the belt of the efod. K'moshe matzinu b'seid lefi shason, like we find in the order that the kohen gadol got dressed. It says vayitin olav es ksonis. He put and he wore the ksonis. Vayachkar oisei ba'avnet, and then he put on and tied on the avnet onto the ksonis tashbetz. Vayalbish oisei es ha'meil, and then he put on the meil. Vayitin olav es ha'efod, and on the meil he placed the efod. So we see from here that the belt of the ksonis was the avnet, and the belt of the meil was the efod. So Rashi, big day kodesh, mitruma hamukudeshes l'shmi yasu oisam. From the donations that were separated in my name, yasu oisam, you shall make them. So Rashi is learning the word kodesh does not mean holy, but rather separated and mukudesh in my name. What's the reason why he doesn't learn kipshutai, that it means that they will make holy clothing? And Rashi earlier in Pasuk Beis does not comment. When it says Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh, Rashi does not say anything. So over there, it must be that the Pshat is Kipshutai, that they will make, you will make holy clothing. Why over here does he take it away from the Pashup Pshat of the Pasuk? Maskal David answers, because the Pasuk over here is referring to the Chach Melei. The Pasuk says Vasu Bigdei Kodesh, they will make Bigdei Kodesh. Now, to learn that the Pasuk is Kipshutai, it would mean to say that the Chachmei Lev will make the clothing holy. But they did not make it holy. It did not become holy until Moshe was Moshech, smeared it with the Shemen HaMishcha. So therefore, the Pasuk over here that's referring to the Chachmei Lev has to mean V'osu Bigdei Kodesh, and they will make clothing from the Truma HaMukadesh Zashmi. But earlier in Pasuk Beis, when it was referring to Moshe, and it says V'osiso Bigdei Kodesh, you will make Bigdei Kodesh, there we can learn Kipshutai, that it will mean holy clothing, because Moshe will be Moshech, smear the clothing with the Shemen HaMishcha and make them holy. Zogt Rashi weiter, V'heim Yikhu, Oysam Chachmei Lev, these Chachmei Lev, Shiyasu HaBegodim, that will make them clothing, Yikablu Min HaMisnadim, will accept from the donators, es azov, es atcheles, the gold and the blue wool, lasis mehem es habegodim, to make the begodim. So in the pasuk, when it says v'heim yikhu, it means the chachmei lev will take from the ones who are donating all these materials. And now the pasuk continues describing each one of the big day kahuna, and it starts with the ephod. Va'osu es ha'ephod, and they shall make the ephod. Kliyakar is medayik. Why does it say a loshin Rabin va'osu, and they will make the ephod, as opposed to by the other begadim where it says va'osisa, like by the choshen, va'osisa choshen? And he explains, since the ephod was machaper, it atoned for avodah zarah, and all of the yidden deemed avodah zarah by deening and worshipping the egel, therefore they all needed the ephod as a kapara, as an atonement. That's why the pasuk says va'asu es ha'efod, and they shall make the ephod, because all of Klal Yisrael needed the ephod as an atonement. And they should make the ephod zov out of gold, tcheles of blue wool, v'argomon and purple wool, tala shani red thread, v'sheish mosar and twisted linen, ma'aseh choshev, different pictures on each side. And Rashi explains that they banged out the gold into flat plates and then cut threads of gold into thin threads. And they took these thin threads of gold, and they put one thread together with six of blue wool, and one thread together with six of purple, and one together with six of tala shani, and one with six of sheish, making each min six threads plus one of gold. And then they twisted this all together to make one thread. So each thread was really made up of 28 threads. And when it says Maaseh Choshev, it means that there were two different pictures, a different picture on each side, just like we explained by the Urias HaMishkon, it was Maaseh Choshev. And by the Peroiches, it was Maaseh Choshev. Here also, by the Ephod, one picture on one side and another picture on the other side. Zot Rashi, V'osu es ha'Ephod. Rashi will now go through the whole picture, exactly how the Ephod looks in one shot. This way it won't be broken up according to the Pesukim. V'osu es ha'efoid, zok Rashi, im bosi lefarish mase ha'efoid. If I will come to explain how the ha'efoid was made, the choshen, and the choshen al seder ha'mikrois, according to the order of the Pesukim, harei pirushon perakim. Their explanation would be in fragments, the yishke ha'kari, and the reader would make mistakes, b'tzirufon, as he puts together all these pieces. L'kachani koisev ma'aseyem k'moy shehu. Therefore, let me write how it looks in one shot. L'ma'an, yoretz ha'kari boy, in order that the reader can run through it. V'acharkach afarish al seder ha'mikrois. And then I will explain the whole thing according to the order of the psukim. Ha'efoid also k'min sino shel noshim roich v'susim. As Rashi said earlier, the ephod was made like an apron of women who ride horses. It was attached and tied to the back of the kohen. The actual knot was made in the front, but the ephod itself, the apron part, went along the back of the kohen. Keneged libay, opposite his heart, lamata me'atzilov, below his elbows. Rochbay kimidas roichev gabi shel adam. The width of the apron part of the ephod was like the width of the back of a person, v'yoyser, and a little bit more because it folded over a little bit onto his stomach. Umagia ara kevov, and it went down all the way to his heel. V'cheshev mechuber b'roishoy, and the belt, which was called the cheshev, was attached on the top of the apron part. Alpanei roichboy, along its width. Masei oirek, woven work. Umarech lekan ulekan, and the belt part went out longer than the rest of it, in order to be able to wrap around his stomach. So in other words, the apron part only went to the edge of his stomach, but the cheshev, the belt part, went further in order that he can tie it totally around his front. And the shoulder straps were attached to the belt, one on the right side of his shoulders and one on his left shoulder. They were spread apart at the measurement, at the distance of two shoulders. Going on the back of the kohen, on the two ends of the width of the apron. And when he sets them up straight, these two straps went over his shoulders. And these were like two straps. These kseifos, even though the pasuk does not say what they were made out of, Rashi is telling us that they were made out of the same materials as the ephod. Zov, tcheles, agomus, lashroni, and shesh. Aruchos, they were long. K'teshir, lezikfon, etzel, savori. So if you stand them up, they went over toward his neck. Mikan, umlikan, on each shoulder. V'nik polis, lefonov, and it went over his shoulder. Lamata, below. Mikseifa, below his shoulder in the front. Ma'at, a drop. V'avnei, hashoyim, kvuiz, behem. And the two avnei shoyim were attached to these two straps at the end. Achas al kosef yamin va'achas al kosef shmuel. One on his right shoulder and one on his left shoulder, a little bit below his shoulder in the front. Va'mishbetzayis nesunayis b'roshehen. And settings were placed at the edge, on the front edge of these straps. Lifnei kaseifa, before his shoulders, below his shoulders. Ushtei avoisayis hazov. And two golden chains, tchuvois b'shtei tabois, were placed in two tabois shebechoshen, two rings of the choshen, the top of the choshen, b'shnei k'sois rochvoi ha'elyon, on the two top ends of the choshen, achas li'min v'achas l'smoil, one on the right and one on the left, u'shnei roshi sharshrois, and the two ends of each of these chains, tekuyin b'mishbetois, were put in the settings where the Avnei Shoyim were, on the top of the Kisvois HaEfod. Liyamin, on the right. V'chein Shnei Rashi HaShashroes HaTzmoilis, and also the two ends of the chain of the left one, Tekuyin B'mishbetzoi Shebekos HaSmoil. They were placed in the setting that went on the left shoulder. Nimso HaChoshen Toloi B'mishbetzoi HaEfod. Comes out that the Choshen was hanging from the settings on the Efod. Aliboy, on his chest, Milfonov, in front of it. If you look at the Sefer Bigdei HaKodesh, you can see a very clear picture of the ephod on page 11. Over there you can see that there was an apron part below which was tied with the cheshev at the height of his elbow. There was also the kisvay ze'efoy, the shoulder straps, in which the two avnei shayam were attached with mishpitzais, with settings at the end of the kisvay ze'efoy. And also in the Arshul Rashi, on page 381, you can see how there were chains, the shasharos hazav, that attached the choshen to the mishpitzais, to the settings on the ephod. And now Rashi continues to explain how the choshen was attached, that it should not move around and bang on the stomach of the kohen as the kohen was moving. And there were another two rings, b'shnek seisa choshen, on the two ends of the choshen, b'tachtisei, on the bottom. On the bottom of the choshen, there were another two rings, u'kenegdom, and opposite them, on the back of the kohen, shtei tabois, there were two rings, b'shtei kisvois ha'efoid, on the two shoulder straps of the efoid, milmata, on bottom, b'roisha ha'tachtein ha'mechuba b'cheshev, on the other end, the bottom end of the shoulder straps that were attached to the belt on the back of the kohen. Tabois ha'choshen el mul tabois ha'efoid sheikh min ze al ze. The rings of the choshen that were in front of the kohen on the bottom, and the rings of the ephod that were on the back of the kohen, were lying ze al ze, opposite each other. One was on the front and one was on the back, but they were exactly in the same position, one in the front and one in the back. Umerachson. And he tied them together b'psil techeles, with a string made of techeles. Tochuf b'tabas v'efoid v'achoshen, where the string went through the rings of the ephod on the back of the kohen, v'achoshen, and went through the rings of the choshen on the front of the kohen. Shehei tachtes achoshen, in order that the bottom of the choshen, dovuk l'cheshev ha'efoid, will be attached to the belt of the ephod in the back. In order that the choshen should not go back and forth on the stomach of the kohen, it will be attached also on the bottom by the two rings that were on the bottom of the choshen that were tied with a psil techeles to the two rings that were on the bottom part of the kisvois ha'efod, near the cheshev ha'efod. Zot Rashi zov techeles v'agomon tola shoni v'sheish moshzor chameshes minim halolu. These five minim shizurim b'chochot v'chot were twisted into every thread. Hayu miradadin es hazov k'min tasim dakim. They would bang out the gold into fat, flat plates, v'kotzim pesilim mehem, and they would cut threads from these plates of gold. V'tovin oison chut shel zov im sheish chutim shel techeles, and they would weave one strand of gold with six strands of blue wool, v'chut shel zov im sheish chutim shel agomon, and one strand of gold with six of purple wool, v'chem b'tlashoni v'chem b'sheish, and so they did by tlashoni and so by sheish. Shekol haminin, every min chutin kafel shisha had six strings, v'chut shel zav im kol echad v'echad, and then one strand of gold with each chut. V'achar kach shoizer es kulam ke'echad. Then he took all these 28 strands and twisted them together. Nimsa chutin kafel chavches. It comes out that the strings were doubled over to 28 strings. V'chein mefurish b'mesechta yuma, and so is explained in mesechta yuma. V'limed min hamikra hazeh, and it was learnt from this pasuk, Vayirakwes pachei azov, and they banged out the plates of gold, v'kotas psilim, and they cut threads of gold, lasos, to make these threads of gold, b'sechat cheles u'b'sech agomen, mixed with the blue wool and with the purple wool. Lamadnu, we see from here, shechut shel zov, that a string of gold, shozer im kol min v'min, was twisted with every single min. As Rashi explains, one of gold with six of each min, making each string 28 strings. Masi choshev, kvar pirashti, I have already explained by the Urias HaMishkon and also by the Poriches, shehi ariga shtei kiros, it is a weaving of two sides, shein tzures shnei evreha doimois zuluzul, the picture on each side is different from each other. And the pasuk continues now to explain exactly how the ephod was made. Shtei chesefois chavros, there were two shoulder straps attached. Yieloi, it should be to the ephod. El shnei kesoisa v'chubar, on the two ends of the width of the ephod, it would be attached. The reason why it says it was attached, because we'll see in the next pasuk that the belt, the cheshev ephod, was actually woven together with the ephod itself. The pasuk is saying that the kisvois of ephod were different. They were attached and sewn onto the apron, the cheshev ha'efod, the belt of the ephod. The cheshev afudasai, and the belt that beautified him, Asher Olov, that was on the ephod, Kima Aseu, it was made like the ephod itself. Five minim, Zav Tcheles Agoma Mislashoni Vishesh, and also Masi Choshev, different pictures on each side. Mimena Yiu, it was made from the ephod itself. It was woven in one weave together with the ephod. It was not added on later on. Zav Tcheles Vagoma Mislashoni Vishesh Marsar. And the Pasuk now says, what does it mean, Kima Aseu? It was made out of the same minim, gold, blue wool, purple wool, red thread, and shesh. V'lokachto eshtei avnei hashoyam. And you shall take the two avnei shoyam, uvitachto aleihem shemois b'nei Yisrael, and you shall engrave on them the names of the children of Yaakov. Shisha mishmoisam al-hoev na'echos. Six names on one stone. Beshemois ha-shisha ha-naisorim. And the names of the six remaining Shvatim, Alo Evan Hashenes Kisoldesam, on the second stone according to the order of the way they were born. Rashi explains that the order was Ruven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Don, Naphtali, God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. Because that was the order the way they were born. Ruven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Don, Naphtali on one stone, God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin on the second stone. Masi Chorash Evan, the work of a stone expert, was the way they were engraved. Pituche Choisam, a clear writing, like the writing of a signet ring. Tefatach Eshteho Avonim, you shall engrave the two stones. Al Shmois Bnei Yisrael, with the names of the children of Yaakov. Musabois Mishpisaisov Tasa Oisam, surrounded with a setting of gold, you shall make them. The actual Avnei Shoyam were surrounded with settings of gold, and these settings of gold were attached to the top of the kisvois ha'ephod, the shoulder straps of the ephod. Rashi learned, Al Shemois B'nei Yisrael means Bishemois B'nei Yisrael, that the stones were engraved Bishemois B'nei Yisrael with the names of the children of Yaakov. The Netziv says, what does the Lashon of Al Shemois B'nei Yisrael mean? That besides for the names, there was also something else. There were pictures next to the names. Next to Reuven, there were pictures of Dudaim, the Dudaim that Reuven gave to his mother Leah. Yehuda had an Ari, Dan had a snake. Each one had the picture that symbolized his Shevet. That's what the Pasuk means, that you should engrave them with the names of Bnei Yisrael, but Al Shemois Bnei Yisrael, besides for the names, there were also pictures. V'samto eshteo avonim, and you shall place these two stones, these two Avnei Shoyam, Al Kisvois HaEphod, on the shoulder straps of the Ephod, Avnei Zikorin L'Bnei Yisrael, these are stones of remembrance for the Bnei Yisrael, V'nosa Aaron Eshemoisom, and Aaron will carry their names, L'Fnei Hashem, before Hashem, Al Shtei Chaseifav L'Zikorin, on his two shoulders, as a remembrance, when he will do the Avodah, and the names of the Shvatim will be on his shoulders, on these two stones, Hashem will remember the Tzidkas, and the righteousness of the Shvatim. Zokt Rashi, Posuk Zayin, Shetei Chaseifov, two shoulder straps were attached. Hasino Milmato, the apron part was below, the Cheshav HaEphod, and the belt of the Ephod, Hiya Chagura, that is the belt, Utsmudalo Milmala, it was attached above the Sinar part, above the apron part. Dugma Sinar's Sinar Hanoshim, similar to the apron of women, Umigabe Shalkoyen, and on the back of the Kohen Hoyim Mechubaris, they were attached, Becheshe, to the belt, Shtei Chatichos, two straps, Kemin Shtei Ritzuos, like two straps for Chavos, two wide straps, Achas Keneged, Kol Kosev V'Kosev, one opposite each shoulder blade, V'Zoikvon, and he stands them erect, Al Shtei Chaseifoiso, on his two shoulders, Achenik Polois Lefonov, until they bend over, Keneged HaChazah, toward the chest, and through the way they were attached to the rings on the top of the Choshen, Nechozen Milafonov, they are held in front of the Kohen, or else they would fall back. But since they are held with these chains and holding up the Choshen, they are held in front. Keneged Libay, opposite his heart, She'en Noiflois, they will not fall. K'moshim Mefurish Be'in, like is explained in the Inyan of the Choshen, how the Choshen is attached to these straps. And these straps stood straight and went up over his shoulders. And the two Avnei Shoyam were attached to these straps at the end, Achas b'chol achas, one on each end of the strap. El shnei ketzoysav, to the two ends of the width of the apron. El rochbei shel eifoy, to the width of the eifoy, that's where the straps were attached. Shelo hay rochavoy, ela keneged gabei shel kohen. The width of the eifoy was only the width of the back of the kohen. Megavoy, and the height are keneged ha'atzilim. It was tied next to the elbows. Shekarin kudish. Shenemar lo yachbur biyaza. Do not tie the ephod in a place of sweat. In chayburim b'mokam zeh. You don't tie it in a place of sweat. Lo lamala miyatzalehem. Do not wear it above the elbows, because that is a mokam zeh. V'lo lamata mimasneim, and not below the loins. Ela keneged atzilehem. It was worn, the cheshev, it was tied opposite the elbows. B'chubar. And the ephod was attached to these two shoulder straps. Attach them with a machat, with a needle, lamata, below, becheshev, on the belt. Do not weave it together. Weave them separately and then sew them on. Not like the cheshev ephod that was woven in one weave. And the belt which through it beautifies the kohen, and it attaches it to the kohen and beautifies him with it. So the lashon afudase means beautifies. Asher olav lemala b'sfasat zinor, that this belt was on top at the edge of the apron. Hiya chagura, this is the belt. Kima aseu kaarigas hasinor, it was made exactly like the apron part. It was made different pictures on each side and from the five minim. Kach arigas hacheshev, so too was the weaving of the belt. Just like that, the sinar, the apron itself, was five minim, and masichoshev, so too was the belt itself. It's interesting that the pasuk seems to repeat itself, because once the pasuk says kimaseu, it was made like the ephod, we know five minim and masi choshev. Why does the pasuk have to repeat tcheles agomam v'slashoni v'shesh? Just like the pasuk does not have to say beferish that it was masi choshev, because that is already included in the word kimaseu, why couldn't the pasuk also include in kimaseu the fact that it was tcheles agomam v'slashoni v'shesh? Why does the pasuk have to repeat it? Zot Rashi mimenu yiyah, the cheshev was made from it. Imo yiyah orik, together with the apron, it shall be woven. V'lo yargenu levad v'chabrenu, do not weave it separately and then attach it. So the kisvos ha'efod and the cheshev ha'efod were made in two different ways. The cheshev was woven with the apron, and the kisvos were added on later on, even though they were all from the same minim. Zot Rashi kisel doisam, according to the order they were born. That is the way the names of the Shvatim were placed on the Avnei Ashoyim. Kisede shenolde, according to the order that they were born. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, and Naphtali al achas. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, and Naphtali on one stone. Al ashniya, and on the second stone, God va'asher Yisachar Zvulun, Yosef u'Binyamin, Mole. Binyamin was written Mole with two yuds. Shekenu kosav b'mokam toldasi. So it is written in the place that he was born. When Binyamin was born, Yaakov called him Ben Yamin, the son that was born in the south in Eretz Yisrael. So over there it had two yuds, Yamin, two yuds. So over here also, on the Avnei Shoyam, it was spelled with two yuds. Chof hei oisiois b'chol achas v'achas, 25 letters on each stone. So Rashi, Masi Charash Evan, the work of a stone expert. Masi Uman Shalavonim, the work of a stone expert. The word Charash Evan means a stone expert. Charash Zed Dovaku, Latebo Shalachrob. The word Charash is attached to the word afterwards. Charash Evan. Well, the Fikachu Nokut Pasach V'Stoifei. That's why it is written with a Pasach at the end. Charash. V'chein Charash Eitzim Notakav. A wood expert draws a line. Charash Shel Eitzim. An expert in wood. V'chein Charash Barzel Ma'atzad. Also over there it's written Charash, and it is attached to the word Barzel, and it means an iron expert. Kol Ele Devukim U'Pesuchim. All these words are attached, and that's why it has a Pasach. Charash. Pituche Choysom. engraved like the engraving of a signet ring. Kitagubai, kesav mefarash, keglav de iska, a clear writing like the engraving of a signet ring. The only comparison to the signet ring is in the fact that it was a clear writing. Charutzois ha'osiois b'seichon, the letters were engraved inside, k'may shechortzin chois metabois, just like they engraved signet rings, sheheim lachtoim igoris, that they are used to sign letters, k'sav nikar umefarish, a clear writing. Why is Rashi saying that the comparison to a signet ring is only the fact that it is a clear writing? And Maskela David explains, because a signet ring, firstly, had the letters backwards. It was like a mirror image. If you looked at the ring, it was backwards, but when you stamped it, it came out straight on the thing, on the paper that you were stamping. The engraving on the Avnei Shoyam was not backwards, so we cannot say it was exactly like a signet ring, because the signet ring had the letters in reverse. Also, a signet ring had the letters sticking out. They were boilet, as opposed to the Avnei Shoyam, where the letters were engraved. So, in two ways, it was not like a signet ring. Therefore, Rashi learns that the only way it was like this ring was the fact that, just like over there, it was a very clear writing, so too over here, it is a very clear writing. So, Rashi, Al Shemais, K'may Bishemais, with the names of the Shvatim. Musabois Mishbetzaisav, surrounded with settings of gold, were the Avnei Shoyam. Mukafois Ho'avonim B'mishbetzaisav. The stones were surrounded with settings of gold. Sha'oisa Moshe Va'evin, Bizov, he made a setting for the stone in gold. Kiminguma, like a hole, a setting that had a hole in it. Lamidas Ha'evin, according to the size of the depth of the stone. Umeshaka b'mishbetzois, and the stone was then sunken into the setting. Nimses ha'mishbetzois saveves es ha'evin saviv. It comes out that the setting surrounded the depth of the stone. Umechaba ha'mishbetzois b'kisves ha'efod. And then these settings were attached to the shoulder straps of the ephod. So it says clearly in Rashi, the way the stone was held into these settings was because the setting was exactly the same size of the stone, and it had a depth, and you just fit the depth of the stone into the setting, and then it was flat, and that's how it was held into the setting. The Ramban argues, and he says that if you would do it that way, you don't really see the depth of the stone. And for the beauty of the Avnei Shoyam, it would be nicer to see the depth of the stone. Therefore, he learns that the stone was being held by three prongs that came out of the Mishbetzois, and that held the stone in its place. The stone itself was not set into the depth of the Mishbetzois. It was not a hole. The Mishbetzois was just something that had three prongs that protruded from the Mishbetzois that held onto the stone.